getting the story and holding the powerful accountable. The simple mission of journalists, part business model, part ethical credo of a free society. A story now of some local journalists with no aspirations of celebrity who believe in this basic ideal so passionately they go to their deaths essentially nameless in the brutal world of the Mexican drug wars, where politicians, money, and drugs are a governing principle, and reporters must step into the line of fire to even do their jobs. Reporters rent cars all the time to do their job, but when the reporters in Tijuana on the Baja California Peninsula of Mexico rent cars, they are offered some special features. Listen, bulletproof armor.
Level 3 can withstand all the handguns in the market. Level 4 can withstand an AK-47. And level 5 can withstand armor-piercing AR-15s. If you want to protect yourself or your family for threat of kidnapping, we recommend level 4, 4 plus, or 5.
That's a scene from a new POV documentary, Reportero, airing on PBS stations tonight. Filmmaker Bernardo Ruiz tells the story of the Mexican news weekly Zeta, following veteran Zeta reporter Sergio Haro and his colleagues. He takes us back to the paper's founding nearly 33 years ago and the struggles it's been through to get the truth out to the public.
The paper is actually written in Mexico, but fascinatingly, and something that was a complete surprise to me, is that the paper is actually printed across the border in California. And beginning in the 1980s, when the paper was formed, the paper was started in 1980, government censorship was rampant, and the Mexican government controlled paper sales. So if they liked what you printed, they'd sell you paper. If they didn't like what you were printing, all of a sudden the price of paper would get jacked up. And so early on, Zeta and its founder, Jesus Blancornelas, decided that they would print across the border in California. And to this day, it's a kind of reverse migration. It crosses the border into Mexico, where it's distributed throughout Baja California and other parts of Mexico.
And you can buy it waiting in line to cross the immigration checkpoint.
That's right. So many, many mornings during production, I'd be out there on the line with my crew filming, Zeta being bought up like hotcakes. It remains a very popular paper. Depending on the run, it prints anywhere between 30 and 35,000 issues. Obviously, the crime stories are the ones that sell better.
Did they understand when they began this paper just how dangerous things would get on the border?
There's a moment in the film where Jesus Blancornelas, the founder of the paper, says that, we always knew we were going to be met with resistance. We always knew this was going to be a challenge. But I don't think that they realized just how vicious, how swift, and how almost unstoppable the response from organized crime groups would be. I mean, right at the beginning of Zeta's history, one of its co-editors, Hector Felix Miranda, was gunned down on a Tijuana street right in broad daylight. So right from Zeta's inception, there was violent retribution and there was blood.
They carry radios to notify each other if they're being attacked.
Throughout the 90s and the early aughts, the staff had been through so many attacks and attempted attacks that they were communicating via CB. Today that's changed, obviously, but that was one of the major ways that they were communicating. One of the stories that really stuck with me is the assassination attempt of Blancornelas in 97. He was just a few blocks from the paper, and he was set upon by 10 armed gunmen who just fired a volley of shots at his vehicle. And in a bizarre act of strange incident, a piece of shrapnel from the bullet of one of the lead hitmen bounced off of his vehicle, ricocheted off his vehicle, and went into the eye of the lead hitman, killing him instantly. And that actually forced the other hitman to leave the scene and pretty much saved his life. And in that moment, Blancornelas' son, Rene Blanco, who we interview in the film, talks to his father via CB, arrives on the scene, and like a trained news hound, his first instinct isn't to talk to his father, see if he's okay.
Takes pictures.
He starts snapping pictures. Yeah. And I asked him afterwards, I mean, it's one of those things when you sit down with somebody and you say, okay, but that's great, that's a great story, but why did you do that? I mean, your father was lying there on a Tijuana street. And he said, my father would have scolded the hell out of me if I hadn't taken those pictures. So the Zeta culture is, it's a very tight, news-driven, kind of dogged reporting culture.
You think you could work for them?
Do I think I could do what they do every day? No. I think they're in a very difficult situation. You know, international journalists and documentarians like myself, we have the benefit of we can parachute in. You know, I'm a dual citizen. I've got a Mexican passport and a U.S. passport. But at the end of the day, I live in New York and I can always come back. So I don't know that I could do what they do in such close proximity to the organized crime groups that they're covering.
In this film, I've heard I've rarely heard a statement of the power of journalism said so succinctly and clearly. One of the journalists in there describes how I'm the most terrified when I have the story and it hasn't been published yet because I'm the only one that knows it. But once it's published and once, you know, the byline's out there and once they can figure out who the journalist is and come and kill him, that's the moment he's not afraid anymore.
And that's something I heard in a lot of interviews with the journalists, that once a story is made public, there's a kind of public ownership of the story, that the scariest part of these crime stories, and not just the crime stories, but the stories that are looking at the nexus between organized crime and politics, that's kind of set as bread and butter. And when an individual reporter is holding on to some critical piece of information, Sergio in the film says, there's a moment when he's about to release this very sensitive story. He says that it's like holding a grenade where the pin hasn't been removed. That's the danger moment for everybody. Once it's been made public, then there's public ownership. You know, oftentimes there's retribution. We see in the film that at least three SETA staffers were murdered for what they've done. Another very close friend and colleague of Sergio's, Benjamin Flores, a 29-year-old journalist, was gunned down just right in front of the offices of his paper. So there's retribution. But for them, the worst moment is in that kind of waiting and that not knowing of what's going to happen when the story hits.
But it's astounding, that sense of relief when it's published, even though knowing that the retribution will come. They've done their job if it's made public.
They've done their job. And I think one of the things that I would always ask the journalists offline when we're not filming, I'd say, you know, do you ever feel like this is a kind of futile task? Do you ever feel like this is this Sisyphean task? You're not really accomplishing anything because you get these stories out there, but then there's very little change. And shockingly, they maintain a kind of optimism that you would associate with a cub reporter. One of the things Sergio would always tell me is, look, we're doing our piece of the puzzle. I'm not a judge. You know, I'm not the government. My job is to get this information out there to the public. Then it's the job of civil society. It's the job of institutions. It's the job of judges to effectively prosecute these crimes, to do something with this information. There's a lot of frustration at the corruption that they see, but they feel like they're doing their part of the job.
On the front lines, waiting for the cavalry.
Exactly.
Bernardo Ruiz, director of Reportero, a POV documentary that looks at Mexican journalists who have risked their lives to report on the drug wars and the cartels, airing tonight on PBS. Thanks so much.
Thank you.